Chapter 54. Where will Mr. Swiveller sit? Apostrophe apostrophe said Quilp, looking round. Why, we'll buy another stool, sir, apostrophe returned Brass. We hadn't any thoughts of having a gentleman with us, sir, until you were kind enough to suggest it, and our accommodation's not extensive. We'll look about for a second-hand stool, sir. In the meantime, if Mr. Swiveller will take my seat, and try his hand at a fair copy of this ejectment, as I shall be out pretty well all the morning apostrophe, walk with me, apostrophe said Quilp. I have a word or two to say to you on points of business. Can you spare the time? Apostrophe, can I spare the time to walk with you, sir? You're joking, sir, you're joking with me, apostrophe replied the lawyer, putting on his hat. I'm ready, sir, quite ready. My time must be fully occupied indeed, sir, not to leave me time to walk with you. It's not everybody, sir, who has an opportunity of improving himself by the conversation of Mr. Quilp. Apostrophe, the dwarf glanced sarcastically at his brazen friend, and, with a short dry cough, turned upon his heel, to bid adieu to Miss Sally. After a very gallant parting on his side, and a very cool and gentlemanly sort of one on hers, he nodded to Dick Swiveller, and withdrew with the attorney. Dick stood at the desk in a state of utter stupefaction, staring with all his might at the bodious Sally, as if she had been some curious animal whose like had never lived. When the dwarf got into the street, he mounted again upon the windowsill, and looked into the office for a moment with a grinning face, as a man might peep into a cage. Dick glanced upward at him, but without any token of recognition, and long after he had disappeared, still stood gazing upon Miss Sally Brass, seeing, or thinking of nothing else, and rooted to the spot. Miss Brass being by this time deep in the bill of costs, took no notice whatever of Dick, but went scratching on, with a noisy pen, scoring down the figures with evident delight, and working like a steam engine. There stood Dick, gazing now at the green gown, now at the brown headdress, now at the face, and now at the rapid pen, in a state of stupid perplexity, wondering how he got into the company of that strange monster, and whether it was a dream, and he would ever wake. At last he heaved a deep sigh, and began slowly pulling off his coat. Mr. Swiveller pulled off his coat, and folded it up with great elaboration, staring at Miss Sally all the time, then put on a blue jacket with a double row of gilt buttons, which he had originally ordered for aquatic expeditions, but had brought with him that morning for office purposes, and, still keeping his eye upon her, suffered himself to drop down silently upon Mr. Brass's stool. Then he underwent a relapse, and becoming powerless again, rested his chin upon his hand, and opened his eyes so wide, that it appeared quite out of the question that he could ever close them any more. When he had looked so long that he could see nothing, Dick took his eyes off the fair object of his amazement, turned over the leaves of the draft he was to copy, dipped his pen into the inkstand, and at last, and by slow approaches, began to write. But he had not written half a dozen words when, reaching over to the inkstand, to take a fresh dip, he happened to raise his eyes. There was the intolerable brown headdress, there was the green gown, there, in short, was Miss Sally Brass, arrayed in all her charms, and more tremendous than ever. This happened so often, that Mr. Swiveller by degrees, began to feel strange influences creeping over him, horrible desires, to annihilate this Sally Brass mysterious promptings, to knock her headdress off and try how she looked without it. There was a very large ruler on the table, a large, black, shining ruler. Mr. Swiveller took it up, and began to rub his nose with it. From rubbing his nose with the ruler, to poising it in his hand, and giving it an occasional flourish after the tomahawk manner, the transition was easy and natural. In some of these flourishes it went close to Miss Sally's head. The ragged edges of the head, dress fluttered with the wind it raised, advanced it but an inch, and that great brown knot was on the ground. Yet still the unconscious maiden worked away, and never raised her eyes. Well, this was a great relief. It was a good thing to write doggedly and obstinately until he was desperate, and then snatch up the ruler, and whirl it about the brown headdress with the consciousness that he could have it off if he liked. It was a good thing to draw it back, and rub his nose very hard with it, if he thought Miss Sally was going to look up, and to recompense himself with more hearty flourishes, when he found she was still absorbed. By these means Mr. Swiveller calmed the agitation of his feelings, until his applications to the ruler became less fierce and frequent, and he could even write as many as half a dozen consecutive lines without having recourse to it, which was a great victory. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.